Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together.
What a privilege to be back for the second portion of our conversation with Anton Swanepoel. And if you've missed the first one, please make sure to get it from our podcast. It is a fascinating conversation just about Anton's journey with skills and into mastery and where he kind of started and when this vision for his life was starting to manifest at the age of 37 and just how that's had a radical impact on the trajectory of his life. And it's such a privilege, Anton, to explore this further with you. And perhaps today's conversation we can pick up with some skills. How have skills impacted not just your professional career but also your personal life? And can you share a story with us where this perhaps had an impact in an unexpected way?
Oh, that's a loaded question, Emil. That's, I must say where I need to start this story is I didn't have a true mentor in my life. Although I've had a man, a loving man, who I saw, I observed how he treated his wife at an early age. And I come from a very troubled home, broken home, and a very troubled childhood. And when I observed this as a young man, I always knew what I didn't want and what I wanted. But I didn't have a mentor, so I knew I had to start reading because I was a poor reader. And I saw on a trip from Cape Town back to Johannesburg, I went into Exclusive Books at the airport in Cape Town, and I bought John Maxwell's Leadership 101. It's a small A5 type of little book, a 98-odd pages, and on that plane, I read the entire book. I was so captivated, I didn't order anything. It captivated me so much where this one phrase, the higher your leadership, the greater your effectiveness. And he gave a picture. There was an illustration of the compounded effect. And in that book, he referred to leaders are readers. And that penny dropped. So for the next couple of years, I read hundreds of books. And I saw that how many time I've wasted before the age of 37. Some of my most successful friends read all the books that I only started reading at age 37. They finished reading that at the age of 21. So they had such a lead as opposed to my life. And then the penny dropped and said, so for the younger listeners, when you're young, you might not understand the profound effect that world-class people called by God can, in the silence of the night, when you read their experience, their wisdom that God gave you, them, and eventually started giving me, don't waste your youth, because the pleasures of this world is robbing the youth of their purpose in life. So what changed for me was this reading. And that's part of my skills development. So I've got a legal background, so I could only cover one third of what I'm doing today. The rest I had to pick up through sermons and reading business books. So the books by Good to Great, Jim Collins, Warren Buffett, Snowball, it's a book almost 1,000 pages long, but you can learn so much from leading businessmen. And skills is not knowledge. Skills goes beyond knowledge. But I had to start with knowledge before I could apply that knowledge, turn it into skills. And that really comes from the gift of communication. Because you can communicate your wisdom in such a way that it repels people.
Mm.
Unfortunately, one of the dangers when you become knowledgeable in an area is the human thing. It's a part of the human's DNA. There's an arrogance that creeps in that prevents you from communicating your knowledge and skill in a way that attracts people.
Mm.
And that is a skill I had to learn.
Sure.
Sadly, I fell in that trap in the beginning stages of this revelation that I received. Being a legal person, I mean, you add a postgraduate diploma to that. I mean, for me, it gave me the keys to unlock arrogance, so to speak.
That's good.
It was pathetic looking back. Today, I know that when you have the gift, when you've learned to communicate your knowledge, you apply it in a skillful way and you make it practical for your audience. The one thing you need to avoid is to have an arrogant body language and talk down to people. That is a skill I had to learn.
Sure.
Can I ask you, Anton? I mean, you're saying you had to learn the skill, but obviously there was a lesson to learn. Like it was, I mean, you didn't wake up one morning and say, "Oh, I think I'm arrogant." Like, how did that? When did you realize I'm busy burning bridges because I'm communicating in an arrogant way?
Great question. I was in a firm, a well-known firm. And when I got this revelation, etc., that God was elevating me, etc., He wanted me to go in another direction. The way I resigned from that firm was no blueprint for success. And the ripple effects in the way that I resigned years later still had an impact on my relationship with the people in the firm. And it taught me a very hard lesson.
Mm.
So one of the things that I make a point of communicating is I sometimes throw a bit of humor in my talks and when speaking to people. But I must be very careful around what kind of humor I'm using, as well as my body language. So I've become aware. I think God has revealed that to me. But in the flesh, that resignation taught me how not to approach life.
Insane.
Even as a child of God and a reborn Christian with a revelation of God's purpose for my life, it doesn't give us the right to be arrogant and to speak down to anybody, whether it's the cleaner, the parking attendant. It sometimes surprises me how successful people with money speak to waiters and parking attendants, etc. It's almost, I think God, it hurts God how even some of His children and church-going people seem to have the right to speak down to anybody.
Yeah,
I believe that all people are equal, and we must be very careful how we speak.
Yeah, I love that because God asks us to love people.
Yes.
And when we look down on people, we're not loving them. And I also believe that when we, in any skill that you are doing, when you get to serve people.
Yes.
And it's almost tension. I'm arrogant, so I'm telling you what to do versus how can I be a leader and lead you?
Yes.
Or how can I invest in you? So another question that I have just in that season, because in the beginning you said you didn't really have a mentor, there wasn't a coach. Do you think you would have maybe processed that resignation? That word didn't come out right. Resignation. Right. Like, absolutely. I mean, would have also helped if you had to process it with someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at that stage, I was at an age where I didn't truly appreciate the value of counsel. Like Proverbs says in a number of 15:21, victory lies in many counselors. So
that's so wise. You have to say that again, please. Because there's wisdom in just a second.
Absolutely. I mean, I take so much pleasure in listening to my kids who come to us for guidance. And I know it will stand them in good stead because that Proverbs verse and verses, it repeats itself, Proverbs 15 and Proverbs 21, that victory lies in many counselors. Today, I know the first person I counsel is with my wife. Because I must say, she has received, she's a prayer warrior, and she's received a lot of wisdom from God. So that's my first go-to. And then if it's a business thing, I counsel with some of my trusted friends in the industry. And that would have prevented me from causing much hurt to other people. And rightfully so. They can look at me and say, I remember what you've done, so it might detract from the person that I wanted to become and that I'm in the process of becoming.
Mm. Anton, you are very humble. And I realize you didn't wake up one day once again and you're like, this is me. But that's the beautiful thing where when we trust our lives to God, He comes and He's like, I'm taking you on this journey and we are human and we will make mistakes, but then we will also grow. And part of that growth is when we say, I trust you and I'm willing to grow and I might be in uncomfortable spaces and then I grow from that. So I want to just acknowledge, because I can see that was a hard thing for you to do and to grow through it, but there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's done, and and they, you are better to talk about, this is what God has done now in my life.
Yes.
So that's amazing. I love
Well, I need to respond to that. You know, that experience took me to, I think it is James, which says, it could be another scripture, but you might correct me on the scripture. But it says, God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Mm. So it is that revelation that really dropped in my heart. And that is why, if you say, I'm humble, it's a wonderful compliment, but it came with a revelation that when God opposes the proud, we must know that God will be your toughest opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somewhere I don't want to go. But I always realized, also after that, realized that God must take lots of pleasure in His children that treat other people with respect.
Mm.
So that has become one of the things, if we talk about skills, the most powerful skill comes from having a revelation from the Word of God. That once you understand that respect for other people is almost the door opener for love. It demonstrates. You cannot love other people if you don't respect and value them. And it shows when you communicate with them.
That's so good. And I wanna maybe kind of press in on this point, Anton. You've mentioned earlier that part of this humility is about recognizing that when you gain all this knowledge that you gain by reading and studying and growing in experience, that does tend to kind of lend itself to arrogance, and you kind of have to bring that into counterbalance with this beautiful revelation you've just shared with us. But you've also mentioned that one of the lessons in that is to say, how do you bring that knowledge that you have and that experience that you have to a table where it's needed? And some of what you do is you also actually develop training, right? And you write books. And so there's skills that you've developed in the way that you bring knowledge to people that I think has become critical in the way that your mastery finds expression, whether that is through books and the way that you approach that, or the way that you bring training to people from the experience and the expertise that you have. Don't you want to just tie us into some of the things that you've discovered in how that happens?
Wow, again, a loaded question. Practically, how it happened for me is when God gives you a topic, let's say you battle with a need in the industry, and you see that this is a problem, and you know that with your knowledge, you might be able to provide a solution. Then we need to ask God. Asking God for wisdom, asking God for direction. I mean, Isaiah 45 says that I will show you secrets. I will show it to you so that you may know that I am God that calls you, who calls you by name. What a powerful piece of scripture that is. If we just grab onto it, if we just can cling onto it and say, God, I know that my talents that you've given me, there's something here. It sparks something in your heart and your mind. And then you need to first seek to understand, like Stephen Covey in Seven Habits of Highly Effective. First seek to ask a few of your trusted colleagues and say, guys, is this also a problem in your area? And talk to people. That's the power of counsel. And through that learning, God will start to put a picture together and show you secrets hidden in Eden. And he said, call on me and I will answer you. So it's with that revelation and faith that you can approach God and ask and it shall be given to you. If it's 9 months, if it's 20 years, God will give it to you if you continue to seek him. He says, I will be found by you. So this is really a whole faith story.
Wow.
I cannot answer from a physical point of view of what is the trigger. When I reflect over my lifetime, every good and perfect gift, even the secrets, he has revealed to me. Even in the recent weeks, God has revealed a new thing.
Wow.
To me.
That's incredible.
So I think, Emil, it is a learning journey of faith.
Sure.
And may I just say, before any of the listeners get the idea that I am this absolute firm, trusting, never say die, let me tell you, in some of the moments that I felt God said nothing, I was like the father when Jesus healed his son and Jesus asked, do you believe? And the father said, I believe, but help me in my unbelief.
So good.
So that my testimony is not for people to look at this warrior that's never had any doubts. I'm not that person. I'm a person that can testify about God's grace, his faithfulness, even if we don't believe as God would love us to believe.
Oh, wonderful. And I'd love to explore some of those challenges and pitfalls in our next conversation. But just on this writing idea, Anton, don't you want to just give us insight into what you have written, what that has meant in your journey to mastery and how that continues to contribute in kind of how you increase in mastery over time.
Thank you. I've written 20 books for the financial services industry. My first book was really God revealed to me the analogy where I took the game of golf. I'm a former scratch golfer, so I loved the game. I was very competitive, and God gave me an analogy between golf and investment planning. And I wrote my first book on that. That first book nearly bankrupted me because of the time it took. And it was a spectacular disaster from a financial planning point of, or for, from a financial point of view. But God gave me another book. Fortunately, a business, one of the banks, one of my friends there, he actually asked me to write a book on protection, using insurance to protect businesses. And he financed me from that point of view. So from almost going bankrupt with my first book, then all of a sudden God revealed to me a way to publish books and make money. Because in South Africa, unless you've got an absolute super bestseller, it's not a lucrative business to write a book and to publish it. It's a lot of ego and a lot of recognition that goes along with it. There are some fantastic books in the bookstores, but my books were addressed to the financial services industry. But my book writing passion went into writing a book with Gary Player called Play Your Business Like a Pro, and a book with Nick Mallett and four of the former Springbok rugby players, Victor Matfield, John de Villiers, John Smith, and Fourie de Preer. And it really, my book writing opened a lot of other doors. And it's a continuous thing. It's not something that you start with. God has given me a number of disciplines. In fact, there are three more books that I now have a desire to write whenever my time is freed up. So, yeah, it's been an incredible journey.
That's amazing. And when you say 20 books, I was like, 20 books? That you didn't write a book a year. You wrote more than one book a year.
In fact, it's 25.
Because
I've written some other books as well, but for the industry, yeah. 20 books, yeah.
So good. Anton, thank you so much. We are luckily not done with our discussion with you, but for today, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye. But thank you for your wisdom and for being so authentic and real with us. I'm absolutely loving our conversation. So, thank you for joining us and again, for just being real.
It's an absolute privilege. Thank you.
So we will be back with Anton again next week. So don't miss out on our conversation.